You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. It is just me for this evening. My name is Ryan Chambers. For those of you that don't know me, y'all are stuck with me tonight, so you're getting full unfiltered Ryan energy here. I'm apologizing in advance for my brothers not being here. They're both out doing other things this evening, and I also didn't want to disappoint you guys for an episode this evening just because we missed the episode from Sunday. And speaking of Sunday, we will get into that a little bit. But tonight I'm flying solo, so I'm going to try and make this a good one. If you're over there in the chat you're listening live, please make sure that you are going through and you leave us your comments, and I will bring some of those comments up, and we'll talk about the Stars here this evening as we get started for episode number 6080. I cannot believe we've been doing this for six seasons now. So lots of things to talk about tonight on the docket, and I am hoping to get to everything. If not, it's not no big deal, but we're going to kind of talk about Miro Heiskanen and the update, non-update, I guess is what you could call it. We're going to do a deep dive into the game from Sunday as well, because I do want to discuss that at length, just because we did miss that episode on Sunday for a couple of different reasons. And then we're going to get to a Who Cares segment that we'll talk about here tonight. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about the meh-ness of the Stars play over the last couple of weeks. And if we have time, what I would like to get to is a little bit of the Gary Bettman press conference that he had earlier today. And he had several things that were interesting that if you're a nutso NHL fan like I am, you'll be very interested to hear what he had to say. And I mean, it includes stuff about extending 3-on-3 overtime from 5 minutes to 8 minutes or whatever, and shootout stuff and lots of other things, you know, salary cap, and we'll get into those if we have time to do so. So as always, y'all drop your thoughts in the chat below, and I'll be reading comments and kind of taking in super chats as they pop up. So if you'd like to leave us a super chat, we'd appreciate that too, but not required, absolutely. Your very presence here is just awesome, and I love hanging out with Stars fans. So let's just start right with Miro, because honestly, this whole situation is driving me a little bit nuts, and I think it got blown out of proportion a little bit. So he's been out for about a month now, and I don't know the exact number of games. I think it's like 15 or 16 or something like that. And it was originally described as a week-to-week injury, and then obviously we kind of guessed that that wasn't the case, and now he's basically out through the entire regular season, and going into the playoffs, he might not even be in the playoffs. So what kind of set up the media firestorm that it was from, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, was that Pete DeBoer was asked if it is a likelihood that the Stars are going to have to win a playoff series without Miro Heiskanen. And Pete DeBoer said he probably will be back early in the playoffs today, but he did mention a couple of days ago, which is what sent media into a fury. And like, I think even ESPN was kind of posting about it, but he said that more than likely, yeah. I mean, we're looking at possibly having to win a playoff series without Miro Heiskanen in the lineup. And that's a really rough thing, especially going forward, because obviously he is the Stars' best player and he's the Stars' best defenseman defensively and offensively, I guess you could see. But so what I want to kind of get to is the update that he gave a couple of days ago was not really an update. It was not much. It shouldn't have been taken fully out of context like it was. And moving forward, that's just something that we're just going to have to be aware of as Stars fans, is that he's probably not going to play in the first round. If he plays in the first round, it'll be a miracle. It'll be amazing that he gets the chance to play. But I mean, he hasn't even started skating yet. That was something that they mentioned at practice today when Pete DeBoer had his media availability. And that was the first question he was asked by Robert. Robert kind of gave him the floor and said, "Hey, do you want to say something about Miro Heiskanen?" And kind of threw him a softball to kind of make sure that, you know, he kind of settled that where it was. So I think he's going to be okay. But there is a part of me that is wondering, is this actually way worse than we think it is? Because originally it was just week to week. And now it's like week to week infinity. Like we're at that point right now. And, you know, what I want to get from you guys is kind of, what do y'all think? And are they just being extra cautious, or is this something that is like, there's more to the story here? Because if there's more to the story here, this could be very, very bad. And, you know, we haven't said his name for several weeks now, but Mark Stone might be coming up in conversation more and more often. So we'll have to wait and see what Miro's injury kind of looks like moving forward. But we obviously have talked about it a little bit, but a couple of questions that I wanted to just kind of answer and kind of asking myself going through this: how much does Miro's absence affect the defense? And obviously we have seen with, you know, statistically and just with the eye test that Miro's absence is being missed quite a bit. He is a staunch defensive player on this team. And it's obvious when you look at the goals against average per game since he's been out and since beforehand. I think the Stars were rolling at around a 2.34 before Miro Heiskanen went out. And now that he is out, they're averaging around 2.8, 2.9-ish. And it's only climbing with Ottinger's goals against average also going up. He's basically giving about 3 goals a game. And it is very, very, very hard to win games and give up that many goals. And maybe in this new NHL with all the scoring being ramped up like it has the last couple of years, that 3 is the new 2 or whatever. But it's still not, obviously it's not good to give up goals at any point in any game, but it just feels like that Ottinger has been off a little bit. And I don't think that is a coincidence that Miro Heiskanen gets hurt. And the last month and a half, Ottinger has not been all that excellent. So, you know, with Miro being out, what has been very nice to see is that Thomas Harley has been excellent in his absence. And yes, most of the points he's received has been on the power play, but we were talking about this even before Miro got hurt, in the fact that, you know, maybe Harley should be given the chance to go on to PP1. And, you know, just kind of out of necessity now, it's kind of gone that way, and it's been proven that Thomas Harley should have been given that opportunity a long time ago. But, you know, regardless, Harley stepping in Miro's place, he's done very, very well. And I mean, it just goes to show you what we've been talking about for weeks now, again, in the fact that Harley is starting to come into his own and he's starting to be viewed as a number one guy. And again, we've had that conversation the last couple of weeks, is Harley a number one guy? And maybe we have 2 number one defensemen on our top pairing. I think that's going to happen when Miro comes back. I don't see how you can't put those 2 guys back together when he comes back. Because when you put him back in and the D pairings kind of fall the way that they should, you've got Parlay on one side, you've got Miro on the other. That is ridiculous. That is, I would put that up against any other top two pairing in the NHL. And then you've got a pairing of Esselindel and Lyubushkin. That is a very solid number two pairing, especially Lindell. Lyubushkin has been very good this year, but you know, he might be playing a little higher in the lineup as a number four guy than you maybe want him to, but ideally that's where he would slot in once Miro is back. And then you look at the bottom pairing and you could have a pairing of Bischel and CeCe or Bischel and Dumba or, you know, whatever. And then when he comes back in, that puts Brendan Smith, who has played a significant amount of games and minutes for the Stars, as the number eight guy. And then that pushes CeCe and or Dumba to the number seven spot. And, you know, there's some arguments there as to why maybe Dumba should be left in the lineup because he's played really well. But again, so has CeCe. CeCe has kind of been relied upon more, and you can kind of see that in the time on ice the last couple of weeks. So in all reality, when he does slot back in, Harley, Miro, Essa, Lyubushkin, and then we'll see Bischel and CeCe. And CeCe as the number six, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. That he is a very good number six, and he has done very well filling in for the Dallas Stars in some points, you know, being the number four. So we talked about Thomas Harley a little bit. We talked about how the pairings will kind of slot in after he comes back. If Miro, and this is the question that a lot of people are asking right now, and I want to know your answer in the chat, if you will put your answer in the chat. If Miro isn't back for game one, how much trouble are the Stars in? I don't know. I don't truly know the answer. Before this last week and a half, when the Stars have had a lackluster play, and we'll talk about that here in a second, I would have said yes, because they had been doing really, really, really well, considering the fact they were missing Sagan, they were missing Hintz at some points, they were missing Miro, obviously, and then even on top of that, it was with, you know, Otter not being really all that great in net, and they were clicking along, they were doing really well, and then it's felt like, and I'm not blaming this on him, but it's felt like ever since Mikko Rantanen has become a Dallas Star, they've had a bleh or meh or eh play in the last week and a half. So that worries me in answering that question. How much trouble are the Stars in? And again, you also don't want to have to put this into perspective as well, but you kind of have to. When you look at the possibility of who the Stars could be playing in the first round, you're looking at Colorado, which is arguably the team you don't want to play. That would be the team I would want to play the least. I would rather play Winnipeg before I play Colorado. That's my personal opinion. Then you've also got the Minnesota Wild. And the Minnesota Wild, and y'all are kind of keeping me updated as we go. At the time I'm recording this, I believe it was it Colorado that lost today? Yes, they lost to the Maple Leafs 2-1. And the Minnesota Wild are currently, are they leading? I don't know. So someone help me out. And I can't do three things at once. Sorry. But anyways, it could be a possible first round matchup of Minnesota or Colorado. And, you know, as much as I would say, bring on Minnesota and like, come on, I will take Minnesota any day of the week, that's still going to be a tough matchup. And it's not going to be a fun one because we've obviously played Minnesota in the first round in the past. And in the first round against Minnesota, they pummeled us to a pulp. I mean, that was their game plan. We are going to physically maim you and harm you, and maybe we will win the series based off of doing it that way. That was their goal. And even if we do win that series against Minnesota, and assuming Colorado defeats Winnipeg in their first round matchup, I don't like our chances against Colorado, especially being all banged up against after a really long series with the Minnesota Wild. So I'm not panicked, but I am definitely concerned and worried at this point when it comes to if Miro is not able to play in the first round. So that's just where I am at. Y'all let me know your comments and right now, and I'll pause and go over some real quick. Telek Lizzie saying big trouble in my opinion. I agree. And Nate also saying big trouble. It took a magical game from Wall to beat the Avs. Yeah, that's right. He had like 38 saves, right? If I remember correctly. The new look Avs are the best in the West without the Stars having Miro. And, you know, honestly, Nate, that's without, you know, Brock Nelson and Charlie Coyle being like amazing. That's the other thing. It's just, you know, Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar doing their thing. And it's just ridiculous what those two guys can do. Talek Lizzie saying Rantanen is the curse. Ryan confirms. No, I don't confirm. It just feels like that right now. And I think it's just a big guy in the locker room with that much experience and that many points and the expectation of him coming in and what that puts on the Stars and on their shoulders. I think there's a lot to be said there. Zach, brother number two of the Chambers brothers. I'm less doomer than the rest of y'all. The boys in a solid playoff spot. Miko has time to fit in and is a playoff monster. Jake will get back to it plenty of time before the playoffs start. And that is absolutely the optimistic view of, and all of the stuff that you said, Zach, is facts. That those are all facts. They're in a solid playoff spot right now. That is a fact. Number one, Miko has time to fit in. And yes, he does have time. He's got about a month. He's got about 15, 16, 17 games to figure out where he fits in the lineup. He is a playoff monster. We've seen that he has over 100 points in 80-something playoff games. And Jake will get back to it. That's the only one that's not really necessarily a fact, but we've seen history in the past going that direction, that he has ramped up his play when it gets to the playoffs. So that we'll have to wait and see. Let's see what else we got. Dumba is going to Pavelski, Nate Dogg. It'll be okay. Zach saying Ben's been saving it up for the last few weeks too. He's been quiet lately. And I mentioned something about him in the last game. And I said, this feels like a game he's going to get in offensively. And he did. He set up Harley for the game tying goal against the Ducks. Nate just has fit in very well for them. Sadly, he has. And that's no surprise. I mean, when you're playing with Nathan MacKinnon, which I am firmly on this boat right now that he is the best player in the world right now. And others would argue, well, what about Connor McDavid? Yeah, of course. He's one of the ones up there, but Nathan MacKinnon is just on another level right now. Some other things. Hintz needs to stop trying. Let me slow down. Hintz needs to stop trying to force it to Miko, though. He keeps passing in the slot. And I mean, to Hintz's credit, yeah, you understand why he's trying to pass it up, because Miko is a ridiculous player and he has a ridiculous shot, but so does Roope Hintz. This core has a lot of experience together now. The Avs don't have much of that. They basically rebuilt midseason. That's a very good point as well, Mato, in the fact that the Stars haven't really overhauled their team very much. I mean, they've added to it, and the only player they've really truly lost off the roster is Logan Stankoven. And as big of a loss as that is, he's a great player and he's a great kid. But when you look at what the Avs did, I mean, they've completely overhauled their goaltending from the beginning of the season. It's completely different. Obviously, they trade out Casey Mittelstadt and they now have Charlie Coyle as their second line center. And then they've got Marty Natchez instead of Mikko Rantanen. And then they've got a little bit of depth with Jack Drury being that fourth line center. They've kind of rebranded their centering position a little bit. So I think that's kind of what they've done in the last couple of weeks in coming up to the trade deadline. Is their team looks completely different. And that is something that the Stars don't look very much different from. And that's a good thing. And that could absolutely be viewed as a good thing. Okay, and the injury to Miro, as much as it makes me lose my mind on all of that stuff, the things that are making me lose my mind even more often is just how the Stars have played lately. The last three games have just been and utter calligraphy and nastiness of why sometimes I hate hockey. Zach's in the chat over here, my brother. We were at Lake Texoma for like a little family reunion, and we were watching the Colorado game. And at one point he said, I hate hockey. And that's how it felt like the last three games, especially is more what I'm talking about. I was just so, so frustrated with how they played. And that comes with two giant games against two other teams in the top three of your division in Winnipeg and then Colorado. And the game against Winnipeg, I was expecting way more, and they just completely obliterated us from a play standpoint. And then, excuse me. And then in the game on Sunday against the Colorado Avalanche, I mean, let's be honest, the Stars did not play for 56 minutes of that game. For the 4 minutes that they played, they got goals, and they were able to somehow, you know, crazily get a point out of that game. I'm still shocked that they were able to do that. And maybe the only reason for it is because Wedgwood was in net. I don't know. But it was really frustrating. And yeah, I set everything up to do the podcast on Sunday night, and I got ready to go live, and then, you know, James was just kind of like, you know what? I really don't kind of want to do it. And I was just like, you know what? Let's not do it. Because it would not have been a positive experience for anybody listening. It would have been really bad from my standpoint as well. I would have been very pessimistic. And I can't really say much about that game other than it infuriated me. And I was afraid I was going to say something that I would regret. They looked completely lost in the game the entire time, other than the 4 minutes they played and they got their goals. They looked lost. There was no effort. You know, I'll take that back. I think they were trying to have some effort, but the urgency, maybe that's the word I'm thinking of. The urgency was not there and the fight was not there. And the thing I talk about all the time when I'm talking about the Stars and when I'm talking about teams that I am especially a fan of, I don't mind if you lose. I don't expect you to go 82-0, or, you know, I don't expect the Rangers to go 162-0. That's just not realistic. That's you're going to have off nights. But the frustrating thing is when you come out and then you put up a stinker like that. It was not fun to watch. It was not good. And the way they've played lately, the last three games, it's not the Dallas Stars hockey of where it should be. And I mean, I'll be honest, I think we got away with a point against Colorado, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, but we played a really good first period against Anaheim, and we could have had three or four goals in the first period, and it probably should have been 4-0 or 4-1 or whatever it should have been. I think it might have been tied going into the first intermission. I don't even remember at this point. But the rest of the time, they just felt a little flat. And instead of being a dominating team, which is what a lot of people are viewing them as right now because of the fact they went out and got the best player available in Mika Rantanen, they're being viewed as the perennial Stanley Cup contender. And when you get viewed that way, especially coming out of the trade deadline, teams are going to bring their A game against you. And you have to understand that. I mean, Winnipeg absolutely did. And so did Colorado. They controlled that game from beginning to end in both games. It was just for a couple of minutes where Colorado let their guard down and allowed Dallas to kind of get back in the game and tie it up. So what I saw in the last three games was not a Stanley Cup winning team. I think that's basically what it all boils down to in this lackluster play that I'm talking about. There were just sloppy defensive plays by individuals. I mean, Dumba absolutely saved himself in a particular play against Anaheim. Labushkin got beat to a puck in the corner, and it led to an extended D-zone shift for him and for Harley, and they were out there for about 2.5-3 minutes. There were some turnovers in the neutral zone that just make no sense. A lot of the time, what we've seen when the Stars are at their best is that their passing is on point, and that includes their zone exits. When we've seen the last couple of weeks, when they've gone through, it's ridiculous. It is incredible to watch what they can do, the creativity that they have with the puck, and especially the top two lines, especially. But that was something that in the first period that I saw in spurts against Anaheim. And in the second and the third period, it just felt like we were passing our problems along. And instead of trying to exit the zone with the puck and controlling the puck, which is what the Stars do best in controlling the puck, they were just flip out, flip out, flip out. And that was when we didn't even have the lead. Going at the beginning of the third period, when we scored a goal, I was shocked, honestly, because that was the first chance and the first shift that we had in the offensive zone at that point. It was like 15:32 of the third period or whatever. So the first 4 minutes, they didn't show much urgency for me, at least. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. If you're looking at it as a good thing, you could be like, okay, well, they're a veteran team and they're not freaking out. And then on the bad side, you're saying, well, they're not showing any urgency going through this. Didn't matter how you look at it, but I want to see less turnovers and I want to see the zone exits to be a little bit better. The only other thing, the offensive pressure has been good at times, even in the last three games, but it's not consistent. That's the word that I talk about all the time, is the Stars are consistently inconsistent at times in the season. And they have put up some real stinkers. So it's almost like they forgot what worked for them earlier in the season, and they're just kind of going back to how they were playing in November in early December. And it was where I was really getting frustrated, especially that game against Minnesota, where it seemed like we were ahead, we were controlling the game, and then all of a sudden we lose to Minnesota in overtime. It felt like that again. And what I want from you guys is, y'all let me know down in the chat below, is just what's frustrating you the most about how they've been playing. And for me, it's those three things. They're just sloppy defensive play, turnovers, and making sure that the zone exits are a little bit better, and then just they're consistently inconsistent with their offensive pressure. So y'all let me know what you think, and I'll get to some of those comments here in just a second. A couple of questions that I'm asking myself is, are the Stars playing down to their opponents? And I don't think that's true. I don't think they're playing down to their opponents, because the teams that we should beat, we have been beating for the most part, except for the Ducks for some reason. I don't know. We're 1-2 against the Ducks this year, and the Ducks have gotten 5 out of 6 points against the Dallas Stars, but whatever. I think our problem is just we're not playing up to our opponents, if that makes any sense. We're not playing to our best game against the best teams. And that's why it's frustrating, because that's what you're going to have to do in the playoffs. In the playoffs, there are no bad teams. The Ducks, the Sharks, the Blackhawks, the insert whatever team here that's not going to make the playoffs, they're not going to be playing. And you're going to have to play against teams. And I mean, realistically, what we could see as a path to the Stanley Cup final for the Dallas Stars: first round against Colorado, second round against Winnipeg, third round against Edmonton, and then you have to play a final against, I'm guessing, I mean, you could insert 2 or 3 teams here, but Florida, Tampa Bay is playing really well. We'll see them tomorrow night. That is a really scary path to the Stanley Cup final. That is a very, very, very scary path. So I would like to be able to see them play a little bit more consistently and play up to their opponents. They can do that. We just haven't seen the best of the Stars yet, in my personal opinion. Hey guys, it's Ryan here.
It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Okay, I am about 30 minutes in, and I've got one more segment I want to do about Gary Bettman's press conference, and then we'll do a Who Cares segment. The Who Cares segment is not exactly a Who Cares segment, but it's more of a Dallas Stars-related thing, but I wanted to show you guys because I think it's fun. So, but before we move on, let's look at a couple of comments. Zach is chatting it up with me tonight. So Zach, I appreciate it. Talik Lizzie, I agree with you, Ryan, and Otter has been mediocre also, in my opinion. Yeah, Otter has not been the Otter that we've seen, like, and I hate going back to this, but the playoff series that we saw him play against Calgary. I'm not saying that we expect that every single playoff series, but he hasn't even come even close to the same universe as the way that he was playing in that playoff series. Zach, too much doomer tonight. If you think I'm being doomer tonight, it's a very good thing I did not do that episode on Sunday. Still third most points in the league, 6-3-1 in the last 10. Isn't world beater, but we just got off a heater. Lost to Avs and Jets on the road. Yes, and that is also true in the fact that it was on the road. Some struggles recently, but the sky isn't falling. I'll stop being optimistic now. No, Zach, no, that's okay. You keep being optimistic because that's kind of offsetting some of the things that I'm talking about. Satellite 897. I don't think I've ever seen you in here before, but it is great to see you. And I apologize if I have highlighted one of your comments before. With or without Miro, Colorado is a tough out in the first round. I think the Stars figure it out, but we really need Otter. That is an absolute great point, and one that I have been saying for a long time is, yes, Miro is our most important player. He is our most valuable player, but the Stars are only going to go as far in the playoffs as Ottinger is going to take them. That's my personal belief about all of that. So that's just what I think. And if Otter's really good, then we're going to go deep in the playoffs. And if he's mediocre, then we're going to have to rely upon either A, some really strong team defense, or a lot of goals to kind of rely us getting into the next couple of rounds of the playoffs before Otter can maybe figure it out. Okay, I want to move on to the last main topic of today's episode, and it's about Gary Bettman and the press conference that he had earlier today. So he addressed a couple of key topics during the press conference at the general manager's meetings in Florida. And I don't even know how to pronounce this. Manalapan? Manalapan? I have no idea. But here's just a couple of the main points that he was asked about from a couple of the top journalists in the hockey world. When it comes to the CBA, which is the collective bargaining agreement, they have already started negotiating some of that stuff between the NHL and the NHLPA. They will start new CBA negotiations in early April. So excuse me. And the current agreement that the NHL and the NHLPA have is set to expire after the 25-26 season. So that'll be interesting to see if there's anything changed or what the players really want added into it. And maybe we see something about, you know, more of, you know, best on best international play between players. I don't know. But that's something that I hope is going to be swift and smooth. And the one quote I do want to pull out of this is he said this, Bettman did. I'm hoping that we can do this quickly, quietly, and painlessly. Three key words that I think a majority of hockey fans and NHL fans will agree with him on. Quickly, that's just something that in the past, it has not been done quickly. In recent years, it's been done quickly, but and years before that, not so much. Quietly, you know, keep it out of the media, just get it done, take care of business, and painlessly. And obviously, the painless thing he's talking about is obviously, and we've seen some NHL lockdowns where, you know, or lockouts, excuse me, where there wasn't a season. The entire 04-05 season was gone because they could not come to a CBA negotiation, and they lost an entire season for that. And that's really sad because, like, when you think about it, like for example, Ovechkin. Imagine if Ovechkin had that season 04-05. He would have already passed the Gretzky goal record, in my opinion. Another thing he talked about was addressing some potential changes in terms of extending overtime periods, and then also the current playoff format the way it is. So the way that the format is top three in each division go to the playoffs, and then two wild cards after those top six teams. And basically, there's nothing really there that he wants to change. He highlighted concerns about ice conditions and player fatigue with longer overtimes. I was like, really? Like, I get maybe the ice conditions because they don't really, obviously they don't take the Zamboni out and, you know, resurface it in between the third period and the overtime period. But 5 extra minutes or 2 extra minutes is going to be that big of a deal. Not so much. And the one that I'm like, okay, really, is player fatigue. Like 5 extra minutes in player fatigue, that's going to alter some of that. Is whatever. He likes the way that the current postseason is set up. So for those that are, you know, complaining about the, you know, the way that the playoff format is, and they want to go back to this 1-8, 2-7, more conference format, that's not going to happen anytime soon, at least according to Gary Bettman. And while he is on, while he's still the commissioner, this is a direct quote from him. I'm pretty dug in on this. I like exactly what we have, having great matchups in the first rounds. That's not a problem. That's a great thing. And to a certain, you know, to be fair, that is true, but especially when you have a ridiculous division like the Central Division is right now, you've got, you know, the Stars, who are third in the NHL, playing against Colorado, who is, I think they're sixth in the NHL. So that's kind of a unfair matchup in terms of unfair, whatever. But just don't expect anything to change with the current playoff format the way that it is. He also talked about that the 2026 All-Star event, he revealed that the Islanders are going to host an All-Star event there at their new arena, which their new arena, I've been told, is very nice. I've never been there, but we'll have to wait and see what everyone else says about the arena. But they don't have an exact format as to how they're going to go about this whole, you know, All-Star thing. So what I want to know from you guys real quick while I'm talking about this is, what do you want to see the All-Star format be like? What do you expect to see from the NHL in terms of the All-Star event? And you also have to remember, this is also off of the amazing Four Nations tournament that the NHL just put on. This is going to be a huge downer compared to that. But we also get the Olympics next year as well. So for me, honestly, they've done everything. I think what they just need to do is they need to have some sort of celebration of hockey. And I don't know how you do that. You do things for the kids. I think that's the main thing, is that the All-Star stuff is mostly for the little kids, for the, you know, the young preteens, the teenagers, stuff like that. So I am all for doing like an extended skills competition, I guess you could say. But what I would also like to see is, yes, include all of the best players in the world and all of the All-Stars and stuff like that, but also include players that are, you would not consider All-Stars in certain aspects of the Super Skills competition. So like, for example, what I'm talking about is, obviously Connor McDavid is one of the fastest skaters in the world, and MacKinnon would be up there with him. But, you know, players like Roope Hintz kind of get overlooked sometimes. And as good as a player as he is, he's not viewed as an All-Star, right? So, but wouldn't it be so much fun to see Roope Hintz in a skating contest against McDavid and against MacKinnon? I think he could do that, and he could put up a fight. And I'll just go ahead and pull it up just because Nate's talking about it. I'd like to see Philip Broberg in that speed competition. Broberg is a very fast defenseman. What's his name? I think his name is Grabowski, something like that. I think that's from years past, but that was a player that he was nowhere close to being an All-Star, but I think he got in the contest one year, and it made it really, really interesting because he was ridiculously fast. Yes, let's actually see the players who have the hardest shots and who are the fastest skaters and who are the most accurate, and do some, add some other, like, expand the Super Skills competition and keep it to that and call it good. I think that's all you need to do for the All-Star event. That's just my personal opinion. I think the 3-on-3 format is outdated. They just need to be done with it. And then the other thing that allows you to do is you can still include an All-Star or a player that's accidentally hit my microphone. Sorry. Invite a player to the All-Star event and he still gets to come. But then you also include the actual true All-Stars of the NHL and make sure that they're all there. I think that's something that they're brainstorming right now, and I would really like to see that completely overhauled in a different way. I think the All-Star game is a thing of the past, and they don't need to be doing that anymore. Let me see what you guys are saying on some all of these topics. Can we keep everyone after this season ends, or are we going to lose a player or two? Natalie, I believe that we are probably going to lose a player or two off the current roster. But that's exactly what, for example, Granlund is. Granlund is a pure rental, as is Cody Ceci. I don't think either one of those guys is going to be a Dallas Star after this year. That's not the way that, you know, Jim Neal goes into negotiations. He wants to keep them. But I just don't see how you can keep everybody, especially with the Mikko Rantanen deal that he just made. And it's not a slight on Neal for that. It's just, that's probably what we're going to see, is Granlund is not going to return and CeCe is not going to return. Which, if those are the two players that you lose and you're able to keep everybody else, shoot, great. I think Duchesne has one more year where he's being paid by Nashville from his buyout. So I think that's true. So maybe we could see him sign one more year for a team friendly $3 million or whatever. But he could do that. Talek Lizzie saying boo Bettman, as we should. He's absolutely wrong. And I'm guessing Nate was talking about the 1-8 format, the playoff format. Zach, my brother, says four nations every year. I thought about that too, but if you do that, Zach, then it's going to lose its, it's going to get boring quickly. If that makes any sense. I know there's a better way to say that, but then you get bored of the, of something like that. And basically what we're going to see, we'll see Olympics in 26, World Cup of Hockey in 28, Olympics in 30, World Cup of Hockey in 32. I think that's where we're going to see. And then in between, then you can just try different things. I mean, it doesn't have to be the an all-star event in those off years or whatever. So we'll have to wait and see. Full league redraft tournament. Now that would be straight up like NHL 2025, like EA Sports craziness. That would be fun. I don't see it happening, but that would be interesting. James, all-star game is a all-star game. Leave it at that. I want another outdoor game. You know, maybe you can do an outdoor all-star game. That might be interesting to see and have different things going on the field, you know, wherever they do this all-star game outdoors. And maybe that's something that you could look in. Canada versus USA, 7-game series instead of all-star. That's a good one too. I like that motto. That's a very interesting idea. And I think that would be, especially over here in North America, that'll definitely be watched, especially by both nations, especially considering the tensions between both nations right now. That would be, that's the best idea I've heard in the last couple of weeks when I've been trying to think of ideas about this whole all-star thing. That's a great idea. And then maybe you can do maybe when we can finally add Russia back in, maybe we can see like a Russia versus Finland, or, you know, Finland versus Sweden, or, you know, a 7-game series, something like that. I don't know. But it is what it is there. So anyways, that's all I've got in terms of Bettman's press conference. So y'all let me know any other things about this episode, anything I talked about, and we'll get to those here in a second. But I did want to see if y'all wanted to. I've kind of gone through it, so we'll save it for another time. But what I do want to get into is the Who Cares segment for this evening. And I'm putting this camera up a little bit so y'all can actually see. But tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you my top three favorite Stars jerseys. That's going to be our Who Cares segment for the evening. And I wish Brandon was here. I haven't seen Brandon commenting in the chat, but he's going to absolutely hate where I'm going with this. And I think everybody else does too, but let's see if we can get this where y'all can actually see it. Okay. So as most of y'all probably know, I I'm a huge Stars fan. In the last couple of years, I have really been doing some bargain shopping when it comes to Stars jerseys. And I've got about 14 now, I think is where I'm at. And I've got a ton. I've got an absolute large amount of Stars jerseys, like to the point where some of them don't even fit in my closet in here. And I had to take a couple up to the band hall where I work and, you know, just show them off in a couple of display cases there. But without further ado, I am going to go ahead and start with number three. This is the classic white Dallas Stars jersey from, I believe it is 1995. This is more of a a recency bias buy and why it's number three right now, because it is the newest jersey to the collection. It is a CCM, and I know I'm a little bit of a jersey snob, but CCM made really good jerseys back in the day, and they don't anymore. So it's when you find one like this, it is really, 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 really hard to find one that's in actual good condition. But the other thing about all of my jerseys is that most of them are blank, meaning they don't have like a number or a name on the back. The one exception is, and it's not in my top three, but I have a Reverse Retro 1, which it, for those of you that remember, the Reverse Retro 1 is the like the bright white one that's like super flashy and like silvery on the logo and stuff like that. That one I have is, I think it's Sagan. I think Sagan is the one. And the funny thing is he actually never wore it because he was hurt. Here is number two. Obviously, most of y'all know this one. This is the Reverse Retro 2 jersey. To be honest with you, at first, it wasn't one of my favorites. But the more and more I wear it, the more and more I really like what they did with this jersey when they redesigned it. I didn't mind the white Reverse Retro as much, but they just went completely different with this one. And I especially like that all of those Reverse Retro jerseys have that old orange and black NHL logo on it. I think that's one of my favorite parts of this jersey. But again, it's just a blank. It's just the Reverse Retro 2. And on this one, I think I spent about, I think it was like $50 on this one when I got it. So it was a very good deal. And then this one, the hanger was actually having a sale, getting rid of these Reverse Retro 2s. And I think I got it for like $110. So, and for those of you that know, like these new jerseys, especially like these Adidas jerseys, they retailed for like brand new, like for $240, $250, I think. So if you're listening on the audio side, go and do yourself a favor and check out the YouTube video so you can see the jersey that I'm talking about, if you don't know what I'm talking about. And obviously, a lot of you already saw it if you're watching live. And if you know me, you know what the number one jersey of all time is. It has to be the ugly eyesore that is the Mutteris jersey. And what's actually really funny is lately, the DLLS guys were talking about it. And Ludwig, Luds, was talking about it. And he was like, they honestly at first thought it was a joke when they saw this logo. And they were like, no, there's no way that they actually want us to wear that. And it is one of the most infamous logos in all of pro sports, honestly, in my personal opinion. And I think a lot of people would agree with me on this. As funny as this is, and as many Stars jerseys as I have, this is the most expensive jersey that I own. All of these new jerseys that I own, like the Reverse Retro 2, the Reverse Retro 1, my Victory Green jersey, I did not spend as much on those as I did on this one. And this one I spent, and it's even a little big, honestly. It's a large Coho. And for Coho jerseys, I would probably wear a medium. But I think I spent $240 on that jersey. And I had to jump at it because I was worried I was never going to get the chance to see that Mutteris jersey ever again for that price. So I jumped at it, and the guy originally had it for like, I think like $350 or something like that. And I offered him that much. And he was nice enough to take it, and I guess he had heard of my podcast and gave me a deal just because I had a Stars podcast. So there you go. Those are my top three jerseys for the Stars. I've got lots more. Maybe next time I can show y'all even more. Let's see what you guys have got. Darren, we all know Mutteris is number one. Yes, and that was before I even started the whole segment. I want to see a stadium series, but in which stadium do we want to play in? I don't think we're going to see a stadium series anytime soon, just because we got the Winter Classic fairly recently. Within the last 5 years, there are just so many teams that also want to play in an outdoor game that have not gotten the chance to. Let's see. Mato with his favorite jerseys. Number one, the 99 Cup jersey. Yeah, fair. Number two, Mutaris. Number three, Stormtrooper. Yep, that's the, I love the Stormtrooper jersey. That's a good one. James with his top three. The blackout jersey, number one, and the reverse retro, number two. And then he's got number three as the Hockey Fights Cancer jersey. I actually have not been able to find one. I've been trying to find a Hockey Fights Cancer jersey, a Stars jersey. I think you're talking about the lavender one, if I remember correctly. That's one I really want, and I want to add to my collection. But I haven't been able to find one. So, James, if you find one, let me know. Let's see a couple of other comments, and we'll kind of wrap it up here tonight. Let's see. Mato, heard that the Stars might be retiring the blackouts next year and coming out with a new third. Don't know if it's true or not. That would kind of make me sad, but at the same time, they've I think this is their third year doing the blackouts, right? The blackouts have done their job. They were an excellent addition to the Stars jersey rotation and what they had. And, you know, I think it's just nice to have something new for like, you know, in rotation every 3 years or so. So I don't know if that's something that we could look forward to. I'm hoping that they do and they have a new jersey. I have no idea what they would do, though. Not a clue, which is kind of interesting because I kind of was right about what they did with the two reverse retro jerseys that when Adidas was still the maker and not Fanatics. But I'm interested. I hope that's true because that would be cool and that would give me an excuse to go out and buy another jersey. One more question. I got to wrap it up. What are your top places that you search for jerseys? For me, what I typically try to do is I look at an app called Rebound, and that's where I normally start. And I check probably once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, and normally it's about the same jerseys. But they've got some good deals there, and I've even seen some real good deals for other teams' jerseys that I almost thought about getting, but nah, not yet. I got to finish the Stars jerseys collection first before I do anything else. As far as other places, obviously eBay. That's the best place. And then there's a guy specifically, and I kind of got him through the hockey guy. His name is Ben, and I think he runs. I think it's called Ben H Sports, and it's like a eBay store. And I think he also has a Rebound store as well. He's excellent, and the prices that he gives out and stuff like that. He's also got he normally gets the jerseys pretty soon after Fanatics makes them, and he's one of the top guys out there. So I've gotten several of my Stars jerseys from him as well. So okay, that's gonna wrap it up for me here tonight. I can't believe I talked for an hour for just about an hour. So I appreciate all of you guys who chatted along with me here tonight, kind of helped me get the conversation rolling and continue rolling throughout the evening. This will be available on the audio side here in a couple of hours. So thank you guys so much for following along with us live. And there's even more of you who are listening on the audio side afterwards, like I was talking about. Go and check out sarcasticremarks.com. That's the website. Sarcasticmarksshop.com is the merch store. If you go and do that, if you want to join the Who Cares Club and enjoy being a member there, we would appreciate that. It's just for $5 a month. It helps us keep helps us keep the lights on for the podcast. I guess is a way you could say it, but we're not doing anything behind a paywall or anything like that. All of our episodes are going to continue to be free. Anything we do is going to continue to be free, but it would just really help us out monetarily to pay for like our website, for StreamYard, for Canva, for some of the AI stuff that I also do on top of that. It also helps us pay for that as well. So thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code is THPN up there in the top right-hand part of your screen. Next time you are there, please use that promo code. Alongside Nobody Tonight, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side, and we'll be back with you guys again tomorrow night. Another big game. Let's see if the Stars can be ready for this one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thank you guys so much for the support that you have shown over the last 6 years and that you continue to do so. Goodbye.